All right, in your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, a familiar passage of Scripture, verses 26 to 36, we refer to this, the demoniac of Gadara, and I want to entitle the message this morning, The Testimony of a Pig. Pig, here, tell us an awful lot. We'll end with that, because that is the end of the story. The part that I'm going to talk about. But the pigs tell us an awful lot here. I mean, they give their testimony, make it very, very clear how they feel about this situation. And I think maybe today you could learn something from the pigs that might help you out an awful lot. Father, I pray that you bless the preaching. I thank you so much for the Word of God. And we do need to hear from you, as Tim said. God, we need you so desperately in our lives. And I pray that today we'll be able to get something from thy word that'll make us different, make our lives different, and it'll help us. And I pray that your will be done in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. The testimony of a pig. Now, you know, the devil is real. The Bible is very, very clear about that. The Satanism, the occult, all of that is very real. The Bible is clear about those things. God warned his people in the Old Testament about witches, about witchcraft, about all those things, astrology, all kinds of things like that. I mean, if it's involved in the supernatural, then you better believe God knows all about it. God knows what's going on. The sad thing is, we don't. The sad thing is, we have been lulled to sleep because Satanism and the occult has become cute. Really, I mean, it's just become cute. It's become, handsome fellas and pretty girls and all that kind of stuff. And just as Satan did in the Garden of Eden, people are being very, very deceived into following satanic things. Now, I'm not going to talk about all that. I will mention some of that tonight. But here we have a fella, and if you read this passage, and I've read it many, many times, I've studied it many times, I always, in my mind, I always wonder, how did this guy become like this? What a sad story. I mean, this fella, this guy is just like anybody else. I mean, he had a mom and a dad. We would assume he probably had a normal life. But all of a sudden now, you know, look at his life. It is a terrible, terrible life. And he is the demoniac of Gadara. That's what we always refer to him as. The demoniac of Gadara. How would you like that to be your name? How would you like to be referred to as the demoniac of Adrian? You know, what a terrible thing. And this passage is very familiar. Let me just say this from the beginning. I do not believe, and I'm sure, you know, I think the Bible teaches Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Now, there are Christians out there that'll talk about that, and they'll blame demons for everything that goes on. Oh, you have a demon of discouragement. You have a demon of sorrow. You have a demon of stealing. And I don't believe any of that stuff. Now, certainly, I believe there are demons all around that try to get us to do those things. But you can't. Christians cannot be possessed. The Holy Spirit dwells inside the Christian, and a demon couldn't take that. But demons are all around us, and demonic activity, and the influence is certainly all around us. But if you're here today and you're lost, certainly you could be possessed by demons, and that happens all the time. I personally have dealt with several people who were demon-possessed. Don't like to talk about it, don't want to do it again, don't even like to be around it. There is nothing more nasty, more dirty, more wicked, more evil than being around any sort of demonic or occult activity. I don't care how pretty it looks on the outside. It's no different than when Adam and Eve listened, when Eve listened to the serpent, the lie of the devil, and ate the fruit and gave to Adam, and Adam fell for it as well, and they were plunged into sin because of that. And ever since then, hey, tell them when Cain kills Abel how wonderful the serpent is. Tell them how wonderful it is and how pretty the serpent is when they have to bury Abel. You see, there's nothing pleasant about the results. And yet, you know, Satan's got a lot of people fooled today. And I'm just saying this, that if you're not saved today, you ought to get saved. You really should. Satan has you fooled. He has you fooled into thinking maybe church is going to get you to heaven. He has you fooled into thinking maybe good works is going to get you to heaven. He has you fooled into thinking that anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ is going to get you to heaven. And that's not so. You have to be saved to go to heaven. There is no other way. But I'll tell you this. Demons are real. Satan is real. The Bible talks about both. And in our day, sad to say, so many just, well, you know, it's no big deal. And they either are so afraid or they don't believe he exists. The key is we need to respect the fact that God said he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to respect that. I mean, if God told us that, we need to respect God said he's the prince of the power of the air. Do you think why would it be a shock that Satan would be involved in music? Why do you think it's a shock, or why would it be a shock to you that Satan would be very much involved in the internet? He's the prince of the power of the air. God told us that. But boy, we just put our guard down. We really put our guards down. And why would we not think he would have the printed page covered? Why do we not think he would have the radio stations covered and television and the internet? Why do we, we somehow think, well, we're okay, we're safe in this area. Folks, we have to be watching all the time. We have to be watching all the time. Because again, I go back to the question, how'd this guy become like this? I remember one demon-possessed person that we talked to, and through that process of time, we found out that there were many, many things involved, including satanic movies, including music, including mostly rock and roll music. And again, this was back in the 80s. And, back in those days, we remember, they kind of hid it a little bit. They were just starting to come out and just be bold about, we are Satanists. But they tried to hide all that stuff. Well, you remember backmasking. You remember their albums. I remember my first time. I albums are things. Records went in. They're round and they have a little hole. Anyway, and I remember my first album that somebody said they're satanic symbols. I remember I had to really study it and look at it. And sure enough, I found those little symbols in there. I found all the little things. And they kind of disguised it and they were trying to sneak it in. Now it's just very bold. I mean, now you see the sign to the devil. You'll see that among, hard to believe, even Christian young people because of ignorance. And I'm just saying, it's time we take it seriously. And I could not think of a better example than this passage of Scripture because this is such a good passage to show you the whole aspect of this thing. And I promise you, there's folks right now, Satan's influence, it's like, somebody's trying to talk to you. Somebody's trying to get you to look at your songbook. Somebody's trying to get your mind off of this. Maybe somebody's sitting around you. Maybe your thoughts now are all of a sudden getting away and, pastor doesn't know what he's talking about and all that. Pastor does know what he's talking about. And God, more importantly, God knows what he's talking about. And he has warned us about these kinds of things. And this demoniac here is like so many people today under Satan's control. And some are just like this. They're absolutely wild like this man. By the way, you say, well, I don't see anybody like that. That's because we've figured out a way to keep them quiet. We'll just give them a drug. And instead of them being wild, they're like this. And you look in their eyes and there's nothing there. I deal with people like that all the time. Now, I'm not saying everybody that takes different drugs and antidepressants and all that is demon-possessed. I'm just saying that's what you would do with this guy. This guy, you put him in an insane asylum, right? This guy, you put him in a straitjacket and you give him drugs and you calm him down. That's what you do. You can't, I mean, come on, you're not gonna let this guy out in society. Of course we do. We call him rock groups. That's right. You say, oh, preacher, come on. Folks, hey, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, it's not like the bubblegum stuff we used to listen to. Okay, it's not like that anymore. I mean, it's different now. Now it's very blatant. In God's face, we worship Satan. You don't believe me? Go downtown Adrian at the Battle of the Bands. That's how it is. Okay, you look at, I'll tell you what, you got a friend here, and wherever that thought just came from that the pastor's not your friend, I guarantee it didn't come from God. Number one, the deliverer. And I like to start with this because Jesus still is Jesus, and he still is God, and he still is on the throne. And Jesus is coming to Gadara. In verse 22, the Bible says it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake," and they launched forth. And you know the story. A storm hits. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." And Jesus is coming to Gadara, and Jesus has an appointment with this man, and Jesus could calm the waters, and he could still the sea, but he also could do that to a man's soul. And that's what he's going to do in Gadara. He's the deliverer. And maybe the storm came because Satan wanted to stop him. Maybe the storm came because he wanted to keep that man demon-possessed. And then let me just say this, Satan does not want anybody to ever do anything that God wants them to do. Doesn't matter to him if you're possessed. Doesn't matter to him if you're just rebellious. Doesn't matter to him if you just don't do whatever God wants you to do. Satan's very happy if you just don't do anything for God. This man was possessed, and Jesus was on his way. Amen? And I think maybe Satan tried to stop him. But Jesus stopped the storm. And Jesus stopped the storm in this man's life. I submit to you, whatever storm is in your life today, doesn't matter what it is, Jesus can get you out of that storm. And he can give you calm, and he can give you peace, and he can be the deliverer for you. You'll notice his concern. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is always ready to save those who are lost. Doesn't matter what you've done today. Doesn't matter how deep you are into anything. If you're in the occult, any kind of thing like that. Jesus has come to seek and to save you. And he wants to save you today. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. Doesn't matter. Jesus wants to save you today. And he'll save you. In this service, he'll save you afterwards. All you have to do is come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And his concern is he wants to save those that are under the influence of Satan. And if you're lost today, understand whether you are like this man who was wild or whether you're just lost. The same ending would be true if this man had not gotten saved. It's what I preached last Sunday morning. You will die and go to hell. You need to get saved. You'll notice again, not only his concern, but also his control. He stopped the storm. He can stop storms in our lives too. Praise God. And he stopped the storm that was on the sea so that he could go to Gadara. But he also later stops the storm in this man's life. He's the deliverer. Number two, we see the demoniac. He is controlled very clearly. And the reason he is controlled, we have to understand from other scripture and from our Bible study, somehow, some way, this man allowed this to happen in his life. Don't know why. Don't know why anybody would. But I think he didn't plan it. You know, I don't think anybody ever, as a child, says, you know, I just hope someday I could just be demon-possessed. I don't think anybody wants that. In fact, I would venture to say if we did a survey of everybody in the room today, I think everybody, if I said, and you were being honest and not just, you know, goofing around, which, by the way, this isn't funny. This isn't goof around material here. If you've seen the things I've seen and others have seen in this room, You would say, no, I don't want to mess around with this. But I'm just saying, if we had a survey and you filled it out and say, my desire in life is to be demon-possessed, I don't think anybody would say that. Now, there are obviously some that, you know, you get curious and, oh, you know, I want to have this power. But understand, with power is a price. And the price, believe me, is not worth it. This man was controlled, and I believe it was his fault. It was his fault for whatever reason. The Bible says verse 29, oftentimes it caught him and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This guy was a wild man. He lived in the tombs. By the way, that always goes along with Satanism and the occult. Death. Always. Always is there. You know, this is one of the things that helped me when I was a new Christian to get rid of some of my music. It helped me to listen to different music. Are you all with me here? Because all of a sudden I saw my albums of the groups that I loved, and I said, all they talk about is death. Everything's about death. Everything's about Satan and all these hidden little things in here. And I said, you know, I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to be influenced by hell. Ever. Ever. This man somehow allowed this to happen in his life because of sin. He sinned. Somewhere along the line, he was tempted. And he sinned, and things somehow got, the Bible uses the word, a hold. And once they got that hold on him, we may call it an addiction. You can call it anything you want to call it. But somehow they were able to take over his life. What a terrible, terrible thing. I've dealt with people like this. And every time, in every instance, did you plan on this? No, we didn't know. We just started doing these things. And it's anything from different movies to books to music to all kinds of different things like that. And you don't plan on it. So in other words, it's not something I planned on. I've got to be cautious and watch what is influencing me. I've got to be careful. You know, as parents, we need to be careful. We need to be careful what is influencing us and our children. We need to be careful. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And it seems so cute. We talked about this in a chapel recently. Well, I say we talked about it. I talked about it. They listened. But in a chapel, we, you know, talking about the Ouija boards and seances. And, oh, that stuff's so innocent and so cute. It's not innocent. It's not cute. I did a Ouija board one time, and the thing is, I walked away after that, I had to wonder, is how'd that thing move? You say, yeah, isn't that neat? It's not neat. It's not neat when you think about how it actually moved. Because it did. You say, oh, I think that's really something. Yeah, and now think about a demon. Think about how nasty, in just a minute, we're going to get to the end of this thing, and so nasty the pigs didn't want anything to do with it. A nasty old pig. A pig that wallers in its own waste and mud, and even a nasty, stinky pig wanted nothing to do with a demon. I don't either. Even a nasty pig. Well, I think about sin and all the sin, and Satan, obviously, we know he wants us to sin. And, being involved in the occult and alcohol and drugs and those kind of things. I mean, eventually people just give in to all that stuff. Doesn't matter what it is. You say, well, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't have a seance or anything like that. But again, you know, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I mean, just rebellion. To rebel against authority, to rebel against God, to rebel is no different than if you put a pentagram on your floor and lit candles at the corners and conjured up demons. That's what God said. I didn't write it. God said it. So it's no wonder people get so messed up. It's no wonder people get so wrapped up in these things. And it's no wonder they look at a parent like, you don't know what you're talking about. They look at a pastor like, why are you preaching on this? You're trying to ruin my life. They look, you know, it's no wonder. And we're the good guys. It's no wonder we get so messed up. It's no wonder we don't know how to vote in our society. It's no wonder babies are being massacred inside their mother's womb. It's no wonder today. The influence, it's all so subtle, and just like the Harry Potter junk. Come on, folks. Well, you know, it's witchcraft. It's spells. You say, yeah, but I like it. I'm not telling. There's a lot of stuff I like that I don't do. Because it's not right. You know, it's no different than when I got saved. I had to change my music. I had to change where I went. I had to change what I watched. I had to be very, very careful. And more so today. I'll never forget the first time we backmasked a record. I'd heard about it. I was a pastor. I was a new pastor. I had a new church. And the little group of adults, I said, so, I preached on it one day. They said, oh, that's not true. And we brought out a record, and we had a record player that you could turn backwards. And we put that record on there, and we backmasked it. And I'm telling you, the room got cold as ice. It was almost like everything fogged over with ice and with frost. I mean, it was so real to us. The sounds of hell were coming out of that thing, and the words were right out of hell. Amen. That was just playing it backwards. It's real. You say, well, they just do that as a gimmick. No, you are falling for their gimmicks. Because today, they say it forwards. Today, it's right in your face. Today, it's we're going to remove God, we're going to kill God, we're going to take God down. And it's no different than Nimrod at the Tower of Babel. I'm telling you, it is right in our face. And if they could take Christianity and they could deal with us the way they wanted to, it would be as they've said before, we'll cut their throats and let them bleed at their altars. That's your pastor. And you know what? Some of you are saying, well, it serves you right. Now, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Didn't come from God. You see, I'm just saying, this guy is dwelling in the tombs with the dead. That's because that's what sin, the wages of sin is death. That's the right place. This demoniac, I don't know what he did. I don't know if it was, you know, they didn't have television back then, but they had entertainment. They had things that this guy got involved in, and lying and sin has always been. I don't know what all he did. I don't know if he was reading the wrong materials. I don't know what happened. I just know that somewhere along the line, he let his guard down, and he got involved in sin, and pretty soon sin took over. And his life was under control. I don't, maybe he was reading some of these vampire books like some of our girls are. You say, preacher. Not Baptist girls. They would never read. Oh yeah. Yeah, vampire books. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I don't know. Let me suck the blood out of you and we'll see what the big deal is. What are you talking about? I'll tell you what. Look up vampire on your internet and see how it's tied to the occult. Now you'll know what the big deal is. And Satan worship. And it's like, oh, but it's all so cute and it's all so fun. There is nothing fun about that. There's nothing cute about that. Anything that has to do with Satan and the occult, there is nothing fun or cute. Let's see what this guy thinks. You know, what do you suppose he thinks? He's bound with chains. He's got the power of Satan and he can break those chains. Come on. What's so fun about that? I mean, he has no life. Nobody wants to be around him. He lives in the tombs with all the dead people. And come on, you think that's fun? Well, yeah, but this is just, that's how it ends up. With Satan's influence. He's never going to influence you for anything good. He's never going to influence you for anything right. He's going to influence you for immorality, always. He's going to influence you for drugs. He'll influence you for being a drunk. He'll influence you with smoking. He'll influence you with all kinds of different things. None of it is good for any of us. He'll influence a child against their parents. Always. Always, always. And against a pastor and against a youth director and against a Sunday school teacher. He's never going to draw you closer to them with his stuff. Ever. Ever. This guy was so out of control, they couldn't bind him. He couldn't be bound. You know, a good illustration of this is the idea of people saying, you're not going to tell me what to do. You will not tell me what to do. I will not be bound. I'm going to do it my way. Had a teenager tell me that just this morning. I'm doing it my way. Not what you say. What I want to do. That's satanic. That's right out of hell. Okay, you say, where do they learn all that stuff? From your little vampire books is where they learn it. From Harry Potter, that's where they learn it. From the average television show, that's where they learn it. I remember when old Bart Simpson came out, and everybody thought that was the greatest thing. I don't even know how old that is or anything about it, never watched it. But the whole idea, yeah, that kid is so funny. And the only thing I knew about it was he constantly talked back to mom and dad, constantly griped about mom and dad's rules, and never seen it. I may be wrong on that. It may be worse than I think. But the fact of the matter is, then a parent says, yeah, we like to watch that. And then your kid is a brat. And it's like, what? Hello? What part of that don't we get? I just don't know where they get that language. Read your little girl's vampire book. You'll see where they get the language. Hello? Boy, that's so quiet in here. It scares me. This fellow today, I'm telling you, the Bible in other passages, he cut himself. He did all these things. I deal with people all the time that cut themselves. Hey, get your head out of the sand, Christian. Get your head out of the sand. I can show you a picture, a girl mailed to my wife that shows a picture of a bloody arm where she took a razor blade and hacked her arm up and where she wrote messages in her legs crying for help. I don't think this is appropriate. I don't think what you're doing is appropriate. And what you allow is appropriate. It scares me to death. This fellow today, we'd put him in an insane asylum. And by the way, they can't help him. Giving him a shot doesn't help him. Jesus is the only one that can help. Honestly, there's no rest for this man. He's crying, he's miserable. And all of that has to be the result of some kind of sin. But thank God Jesus was there. Help was there. You know, but Satan, again, you may not be like this and you may not identify. And I don't think anybody here does necessarily identify with this fella. But the truth of the matter is, you're just as involved in things that are going to take you down as this guy. And you're just as trapped as this guy. You're just as bound as this guy. Somebody takes a razor blade and they cut themselves. I'm telling you, there's problems there. There's serious problems there, and all over this room. There's some I know about, but I would guess at least 5 to 10% of the folks here know exactly what I'm talking about. And I've been told that when that blood starts to go down their arm, I've been told they just feel so much peace. Sounds like drugs to me. Sounds like another lie of Satan. Because it's not peace. You know what? If it's peace, it'll last. It doesn't last. Just like drugs don't last. Just like alcohol doesn't last. Hello? You know the peace that passes all understanding? It's always there. It's always there. Though the storm rage, amen, all Jesus has to say is peace be still. And it's still right here in my soul. I'm telling you the truth. Now I know, you know, the thoughts come into your mind. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You need to keep doing these things and all this. I'm telling you, you need to get away from that stuff. Number three is the demons. They're real. They wanted to destroy this man. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy this church. They're not for us. This is a real battle. It's going on right now, I guarantee. The angels of God and the demons of hell, they fight it out every service. They fight it out in your home. You're about to have family devotions, and they're fighting it out. Well, you know. And whatever it is, it distracts us. Whatever gets us off from doing what we're supposed to do, they're fighting it out. These demons are unclean. They love sin. They love the tombs. They love darkness. They love dirtiness. I don't like that. I told this story in chapel, and I kind of hesitate to tell it now, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I remember the person that cut themselves, the person that mailed my wife the letter. One day I finally was just tired of it, and I finally said to this person, I said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that tonight, just this one time tonight, that when you're going through all your stuff that you do that is wicked and vile, I'm going to pray that God just lets you see the influence that's around you. Now, I have never talked to this person since that day about what happened. All I know is they called me the next day and said, Pastor, please never pray that again. I've never asked them. Don't want to know. Please don't pray that again. Don't know what they saw. But if they could just see a glimpse of what really is going on, if you could see it with your little vampires, if you could see it with your witchcraft, oh, that's harmless, and your music and rap, if you could just see it, the rebellion, the hatred, if you could just see it, if you could just see it. Now, God doesn't always allow that because he wants you to trust him by faith. the demons. By the way, notice something about these demons here. And I'm really close to being done, so don't panic. But you notice verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down. Amen. Notice the respect. He fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" They know who he is. They know who he is. "I beseech thee, torment me not." They know who he is. They know who's stronger. They know who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They know. The Bible says in James that the devils believe and tremble. They tremble. See, we've got folks today, demons are smarter than you because you don't even tremble at there being a God. You don't even tremble at what your sin is doing. They have nothing. They say, "What have I to do with thee?" See, they're smart there too because they know they have nothing in common with Christ. Nothing in common. Are you listening? They know that. I'm going to talk tonight. I'm going to finish up Nehemiah chapter 13, talking about the mixed multitude. See how the demons know better than most Christians? "What have we to do with thee?" "We don't have anything to do with thee, Jesus." Why? They know they're opposite of Jesus. I wish some of you young people would understand that. You're not going to mix the two. I can tell you this. We will never be called the Berean Baptist vampires. Amen. I'm not. We're never even going to be called the Berean Baptist bats. All right, there they are, Berean Baptist witches. Did you know Wake Forest is a Southern Baptist school? How many of you knew that? How many knew that? Wake Forest. You know their mascot? The Demon Deacons. You say, how'd that happen? Well, somebody must have got influenced the wrong way. What do you think? I kid around about our deacons every now and then, but if I ever thought one of them was a deacon or a demon, they wouldn't be a deacon. It's hard to get those two things mixed up. You say, "Preacher, you just don't understand." No, you don't understand. I do understand. You know, I don't even like talking about it. And I hesitated about this whole thing, but it's in the Bible and it needs talked about. And I still remember, and my wife remembers very, very clearly, the satanic influence of a demon-possessed person and what all's involved with that. I'm talking about the foaming at the mouth and the voice and the cursing and the spitting in my face and the whole thing. And you say, "Well, preacher, it's just all fun." And that, there's nothing fun about that. There's nothing fun about hearing a man's voice come out of a girl's mouth. There's nothing fun. There's nothing cute. There is nothing hearing the vulgarity and the cursing God and the spitting on the Word of God. There's nothing good about that at all. Nothing. No movie can even portray it right. It's not possible. I'm just saying the demons are nasty and they're ugly and it's terrible. It's terrible. But you'll notice their ability to communicate. Legion was able to talk. Jesus said, "What is thy name?" By the way, he had to answer, and he had to answer truthfully. "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Yeah. And they must obey God because they are defeated. Again, I ask you this question. Why would you choose the wrong side? Because it's cute? Because it seems fun? Defeated. Number four, we see the deliverance. Verse 33. "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." The Bible says when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And there's real deliverance there. Amen. Real deliverance there. I'm telling you, thank God. You'll notice this fella. I can't help but notice. The Bible said in verse 27, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time and wear no clothes. That's a sign of Satanism. run around half naked, or in this case, naked. That's a sign. You say, we don't allow that in our culture today. Well, we don't allow, maybe don't allow people to run around naked, but it's not far from that. Good night. Some of you ladies come to church half naked. I heard somebody just whisper, it's true. Yeah, it is true. You know, our men have to look at that. You want them to, or you wouldn't do it. But that's a whole other subject. This guy, once he, notice what the Bible says, once he got right with God and got saved, the Bible says, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. But he was also in his right mind, amen? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, the devil mess with your mind. But you know, God's not the author of confusion. Whenever confusion comes, that's not of God. God's not the author of confusion. God wants it all to be, he wants you to have a sound mind. Now, again, I understand there's folks that have problems and people that are sick and all those kind of things. But in the case of Satan, he just wants to confuse everything. Why would a young person kill their parent? Why would they do that? Hey, look it up on the internet. Just put that in. Murder parent. See what you see. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how many parents are dying every year. Why would a young person do that? Most of us remember the story. It goes back, I don't remember how many years now, but the young man that right outside of Washington, D.C., killed his mother, took a knife, and killed himself. But the amazing thing, the people could not explain. The policeman, no doctor could explain how he could take a knife and literally take it all the way across his neck. How do you suppose he was able to do that? Because they said by the time he got here and severed the artery, he would die. He couldn't go all the way across. How do you suppose his hand was able to do that? Now, again, I'm not trying to, I'm just saying. Okay, remember the Ouija board that moved? Well, I'm just saying something moves it. Now, you know, I'm just about done. You'll notice this fella, he decided he wanted to serve the Lord. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You know, when Jesus delivers people, he uses them too. And this fellow goes out and he serves the Lord. You know, the Bible says that in verse 37, it says, then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them. You know, they besought Jesus to leave. Hey, you're messing things up here, Jesus. In the book of Mark, it also talks about this story. And the truth of the matter is, the people are upset because they lost their pigs, because they lost money. If people would wake up and understand what's going on, the music industry, the Hollywood industry, many of the world's industries would be shut down because we would recognize what's going on. That's why they want to close down the church instead. Because we're the only ones talking about it. Nobody else is. And Jesus heals this man, and instead of rejoicing, the people are saying, hey, wait a minute! What about our pigs? Isn't that typical? The last thing's the dead pigs. It's kind of sad about them. Mainly because nobody got to eat the pork chops. But I submit to you, pigs are nasty. I don't know of anything more nasty than a pig, honestly. They are nasty. And it says, then went the devils, verse 33, out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They knew exactly where they were going. And that's where they wanted to be. You know why? Because as filthy and as nasty and as smelly and as rotten as a pig is, it wanted nothing to do with demons. They wanted nothing to do with them. The pigs would rather be dead than to be influenced by demons. Do you get that? That's the testimony of the pig. They were repulsed Now, again, having been involved in that, I honestly, and I believe this today, I believe if I were to go to a rock concert today, it would be just like in that living room when we backmasked that record. Be just like it. I believe it'd be there, just like that. I have no question about that. I believe that that presence is in so many situations. I see that presence sometimes when I'm counseling people. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Engel? It's that hard look and that hollow look when you look in somebody's eyes. There's just nothing there except for hate. These pigs, they said, we don't want that. They said, we have something better than that, and that's just to run off this cliff and drown. Yeah. I'm just saying this, folks. Why don't we, okay, pigs figured something out here. Maybe we need to look around our house and figure things out. Maybe we need to, I can tell you testimony after testimony. Missionaries, we have a missionary here, at least on a mission field, Ghana, Africa. You say, oh, yeah, it's bad there. Sure it is. It's bad here, too. I can tell you testimony after testimony of going of preachers going to people's homes and people being tormented like this, and they say, we don't understand, and they walk in the house, and the house is 25, 30 degrees colder than it is outside, and there's no air conditioning on. And walk into a teenager's bedroom and see their rock posters all up and see their little idols and crystals and all the different things, you know, that we're so foolish because we fall for it. Because it's cute and it's a fad and we think, oh, this is really something. And pretty soon we're hooked. It's no different than the first time a guy smokes marijuana, drinks his beer, whatever. Hooked is hooked. Doesn't matter what you're hooked on. Pornography, doesn't matter. You know, what we need to do is we need to wake up, get our heads out of the sand. You know, these cottage prayer meetings, folks, we need you to come and pray. And we need to pray. We need to pray. Satan is very real. And I'm telling you, the attack is vicious. The attack on the church, if they can't do it as an army, they'll do it as politicians. They're doing it. They're doing it. The laws are not going our way. And I'm telling you to silence the preacher, because what I told you today, and I left out a whole lot, but it's the truth. This man, thank God. Isn't it wonderful to know this guy was free? Isn't it wonderful to know that all across our city there are people, they can be free? Isn't it wonderful to know that today, right now, I don't care what kind of bondage you're in, doesn't matter what you're bound to today, that God can set you free. Isn't that wonderful? God can set you free. He can save you, Christian. He can. You say, preacher, it just seems like it's all around me, and I don't know what to do. God can help you. God can free you. God can bring peace that passes all understanding. You just have to let Him. You have to let Him. Let's bow our heads.